minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Good afternoon, Hooligans. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We are live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Fun Monday planned for you. We'll get to the quarterback corner presented by First Advantage with Dylan McCaffrey. The Bears quarterback did not play on Saturday. We thought he was cleared, but maybe one of those precautionary situations where they decided, you know what, we want to wait until we get into conference play. So we're going to talk to Dylan and how they're preparing next for Big Sky Conference game coming up against Northern Arizona. And, you know, it's going to be a big game, a rough loss to UNC, CU, and what a win by Colorado State and the Broncos. So we'll talk about all of that. My local picks really struggled, Colfax. I'm 500 right now, okay? So, I mean, we're not pressing the panic button, but last weekend was awful. I went 1-3. Only pick I got was the Broncos to cover. So the rest was awful. My locks were awful. The football season, it's already a bust. It's all a bust, man. 2 weeks into the NFL season, 3 weeks into the college season, and nobody can do this. It's funny how it works, though, isn't it? Week one, the story was this. CU might be the real deal. They almost beat Texas A&M, a top five, now top seven team in the country. UNC, hey, the Ed McCaffrey era, this is no joke. How long do you think he'll stay? This guy's good. They smoked Houston Baptist. CSU, it was, oh my gosh, when is his buyout? How much is Steve Adazio's buyout? That was the rhetoric for those three teams. Now it's like the opposite this week. CU, 30-0 loss to Minnesota. They have no offense. That was a terrible beat. One of their most embarrassing home games in a while. UNC lost to Lamar. No, not the small town in eastern Colorado. A Lamar football team. 17-10. Beat them in overtime. And the CSU Rams went down to Toledo. A team that almost beat Notre Dame last week. And they pull off the major upset, winning 22-6. It completely flipped. This is why I always say, you know, you can make your picks, but you never want to go all in at this point. I mean, I know a lot of people are going all in on Teddy Bones today. Teddy Bridgewater. Broncos win 23-13. They're 2-0. Mr. 0-7 in September is now 2-0 in 2021. Vic Fangio. Fun weekend. Weird weekend. My goodness, the Ravens-Chiefs game. What a way to end the weekend. Now you have Detroit and Green Bay tonight. Is Aaron Rodgers going to come out, you know, just flat out on fire because he struggled last week and the Packers struggled? Detroit put up some points last week, 33 in the loss to the 49ers. So watch out for this. This could be a track meet tonight. Maybe take the over. 49. I think so. I think they're going to go nuts tonight. We'll see. Oh, the way I've been picking lately, it's probably going to be a 10-7 game. 0-0 in the first quarter, 3-0 in the second. Oh, we're feeling good about that over. Could totally see it flipping like that. At 1 o'clock, we have the Ellison Hubbard Show presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. I love the name, image, and likeness stuff because it allows us to sit down with these guys weekly. And Ellison and that defensive line, Scott Patchen was earning some awards over the weekend. That D-line looked as good as we'd been advertising them all offseason. Their best showing yet. And maybe they don't look back from here. They have Iowa on Saturday, though. Although, I'm reading the Twitter leaves, and you guys are kind of like, nobody's calling a win here. But you guys are pretty optimistic. Listen. Okay, Colfax, do you have Steve Adazio? Let's play CSU Rams head football coach Steve Adazio. Here's his opening statement, and I have a couple of thoughts on it.
All right, guys. Obviously, it feels great to come in here with a win on the road against a really good football team. I thought it was a gritty win. I thought it was a program win. I thought our kids played with great resiliency. Certainly, each week wanted to improve, and I thought we did. I thought our defense played lights out. I thought, we really improved. We had great pass rush. We got better, and we were playing with an awful lot of young guys in the back end. And they played well. And offensively, I thought we had a really gritty performance. They're putting a lot of guys in the box. Obviously, we were down Dante and making it real hard, but I thought we had some gritty yards, and our special team stepped up and made some plays. I'm just proud of our team. I'm proud of the way they fought. Too much time in our world today, in sports world today, people want to be negative. People want to have negative things to say all the time, And what we want to do is build. And we want to improve, and we want to get better. And we stuck together as a team. And that's really an important thing to learn how to do, how to win on the road, how to stick together, how to weather adversity, and how to handle, the negativism that makes me sick to my stomach. So I'm proud of our team, and I'm proud of the way they fought today. And this is just one brick. We've got a big game next week, and we've got to get back to work. But this was an important brick to get on the road.
Hey, Steve.
It really was, and congratulations to Colorado State. This was a great win, and they desperately needed this win. I can't overstate that. They really needed this W. I just want to make a comment on the whole, there's a lot of negative when it comes to sports, and it makes me sick to my stomach. You know me, man. I've said this for years. The media is what makes this world go round when we talk about sports and maybe everything. The dialogue that we have, good or bad, keeps you relevant. Our friends from Weekly said last week, Kevin Lytle and Chris Abshire from the Fort Collins, Colorado, when talking to us, they said, hey, it's better to talk negatively about your team than not at all. It's true. How much did we spend talking UNC on this program 2 years ago, Colfax? Here's who they're playing and here's what time. Until game one, and then we're not even talking about it. That's the way it is. Sports talk shows, good ones, which hopefully this one is, we don't spend a lot of time saying, hey, the guys are 0-8, but good luck this weekend. Let's break down that game. Nope, we're moving on to more exciting things or more depressing things. Either way, we're going to talk about colossal failures. We're going to talk about epic successes. So, again, comments that make you sick to your stomach, don't disagree. There are idiots out there on Twitter and fans that say awful things, vile things. So that kind of stuff, all right, coach, I can see where you're coming from there. There can be some nasty things said from fans when it comes to head coaches, players, whatever. Really hope you're pulling it back when you're talking with the players. But you could still be critical. That's what this is about. Players and superstars, entertainers, actors, all those people, they get paid good money for several reasons. One of them is, yes, they're extremely famous, and with that comes the opportunity to have complete strangers call you out. I get it. Coaches get mad about it, but I just hope this isn't going to be. Is this going to be the thing every week? Rams lose. People are critical. Coach Addazio is extremely defensive. That's the nature of this game. Was that not what happened in Boston College? Were people not critical when they would lose games at Boston College? If you expect greatness from your team, and a lot of Rams fans out there are talking about Big 12 and Power 5 and ACC and all that stuff, if you want that, you can't say things like, doggone it, 0-2 to start, darn it. You got to be mad. You got to be fired up. You should be if you're a good fan base. The alternative is nobody cares. So I guess, and again, I'm not taking anything away. This was a hell of a performance, hell of a win. It's a lot of fun to talk about. We'll have a great time talking to Ellison about it. But fans make the sports world go round. The media makes the sports world go round. And when you're talking about it, positively, negatively, whatever, it's relevant. And it makes people more eager to watch the next game. You saw CSU beat Toledo on the road. Now you're like, all right, I was gonna watch the Iowa game kind of in the background, but now I'm going to see what they do against this team. Who knows? See, you did something crazy against Texas A&M, and then they got schlacked 30-0 to Minnesota. So, all right, I'm in. The same people. And I love this whole thing, too, on social media. It's like, oh, you were against us. Yeah, you were losing. And you can still be for certain aspects of this team, but you could still be critical at the same time. It's amazing how that works. It was a crazy weekend, Colfax. It was a fun weekend for some. interesting for others. Let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly on this one, Colbs. Now, the good is that. And Coach Addazio, you know what? Enjoy the positive comments because people really liked what your defense did. Still concerned about the quarterbacks. Still concerned about everything else. But the Rams, they ran the ball well. They did some really good things in this game.
Venezio backpedaling all the way to the 30-yard line. Escapes a couple of tackles out toward midfield and still has room to run with it. Up the sideline, there he goes on the move. And that's a Colorado State touchdown for Thomas Penunzio. The first touchdown of the game.
I mean, special teams. Coach Addazio said, I was trying to list everything, Colfax. Special teams is electric. That's electric when you can do that. And I'm gonna talk about this game in more detail. Yes, Toledo had a bunch of things, self-inflicted wounds in this game. But you got to take advantage of it, especially on the road. And CSU did, 22-6. Congratulations to Colorado State. Trey McBride was a monster. Scott Patchen was a man possessed. And yes, they get the return for the punt return for the touchdown. It was all very exciting, and Trey McBride is the most ridiculous athlete I've ever seen. Just looks better and better every game. How about the bad? The UNC Bears losing in overtime.
Gets that snap and rolls to his left. He pitches back to Ward. He turns a corner and gets in the end zone. He does. That's a touchdown. Touchdown, Lamar.
That one hurt. Lamar gets the touchdown. Bears can't answer. And that's going to end that game. And UNC now 1-2. All three of the football teams, the college teams we talk about, you know, religiously on this program, are 1-2, which is our Power to Play Sports poll question. Who do you think has the better chance of turning this thing around? CU, UNC, or CSU? The ugly, I picked CU to win this game. Outright, win it. Yikes.
Nice cutback. Kai Thomas toward the goal line, and the pylon lunges in. Touchdown, Minnesota.
30-0. The Buffs lose. Woo-hoo. I mean, another good would have been the Broncos winning, you know, but I'm sure of it. We're going to be saying that at least nine more times the good will be the Broncos, because I have got them going 11, winning 11 games. We're getting closer to that, Colbs. We're getting dangerously close to that. The ugly would have been something around on the lines of Josie Jewell's done for the season. Bradley Chubb, we don't know when he's coming back, but this was a rough go for injuries, but the Broncos still get the win. And Vic Fangio, Colfax, is really happy with his quarterback, Teddy Bridgewater, has all these amazing things to say about him.
Well, I think your quarterback has to have a big role. I mean, name any successful team where the quarterback's not playing a big role in it. And at this point, we're 2-0, we've been successful, and he's had a big role in it. You know, the days of winning without your quarterback playing a big role, unless you're just so dominating on defense in the kicking game, you know, those years are going to be far and few between.
It's important. Vic's just saying what we all know is very important, but he's very happy about Teddy Bridgewater. Says he's flat out just a good quarterback. He's out there making great plays. It was a rough start, a rough first half for Denver, but they find a way to get everything clicking in the second half. And, yeah, overall, you got to be pretty pleased with what you're seeing by this team. Cortland Sutton getting back in the mix. Let's talk about it. Broncos beating Jacksonville 23-13. Shoot us a text on our First Advantage text line. That's 888-530-0043, 888-530-0043. That's the First Advantage text line. Eastside Chris, astonished. Just checked AFC West standings. L.A. Chargers are in the cellar. Again, guys, just take it easy. We're just a couple of weeks in. Let's see. Dixon, deep question. Brady, with the NIL thing now in place and players getting paid and the fact that many college players don't really take advantage of the education and are just there to play the sport, is it maybe okay now to be more critical of the actual players instead of hiding behind they are just kids, so don't say anything critical about them thing? Yeah, I would just ask that you're not as rough as you're going to be on an NFL player. Is that fair or not? Or do you think it should be open season? I mean, a lot of these guys are, 18 typically? Are there 17-year-olds that could be freshmen? Maybe. I think you can be harsh, but you need to just kind of tamp it back a little bit. We'll talk about that more. Let's go Broncos-Jags coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios.
Catch the Ellison Hubbard Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. Mondays at 1 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. For the latest on the Broncos, the Nuggets, and the Rockies, listen to The Hull Show weekdays at noon on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
All I'm going to say about the 2-0 thing and telling you to pump the brakes, Colfax remembered this. The Broncos were kind of used to going 2-0 with Vancey, with Vance Joseph. Both of his seasons, his two seasons that he coached for Denver, they started out the gates 2-0. His first season, I think they started out 3-1. And then 2018, his last year, they beat Seattle, they beat Oakland, and then they went on to lose their next four. And we all kind of know how that ended. So, yeah, you just want to be kind of careful. You want to pump the brakes a little bit. Get excited for what you have in front of you. The Broncos aren't used to winning in September under Vic Fangio. So it's certainly a big deal. Man, Trevor Lawrence looked rough in this game. Denver had his number, but he wasn't connecting. I mean, he just wasn't making the right reads. His throws looked off. He was 14 of 33 for 118 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions. And a passer rating of 37.2. Teddy Bridgewater, on the other hand, 26 of 34, 328, two touchdowns. He was sacked three times, but especially in that second half, got it rolling. It was a low-scoring affair. Jacksonville was driving at the end of the half to try to tie this thing, and they missed the field goal. They missed two field goals in that first half. Otherwise, they could have had the lead at the half. So you want to be a little bit cautious. You can be pretty optimistic, but cautious at the same time. Second half was a different story. The Broncos put up 13 as opposed to kind of a concession-type score by Jacksonville, similar to what happened against the Giants a week ago. Javonte Williams is a tank, 13 carries for 64 yards. Melvin Gordon, 13 carries for 31 yards. If he can't pop one big run, that might be the kind of stat line you're going to get used to. Let's go to the receiving end, though. It was Cortland Sutton. Good to see him back, especially after you see Jerry Jeudy go down, and we don't know when he's coming back. Sutton comes out and is just a monster. 9 receptions for 159 yards. Just all over the field. He averaged 17 yards per catch. He had two of them deep. Two of them I thought were pass interference. One was in the end zone, and it looked like the defender, that early pass to Sutton, looked like the defender pulled on his jersey just a little bit. But they didn't call it, didn't get it. Still ended up with 9 receptions, 159 yards. For the most part, Teddy didn't spread it out a whole heck of a lot. Noah Fant and Albert O were the other two guys to have more than 3 receptions. And Tim Patrick had 3 for a touchdown. Gordon had 2 for 40 yards. So offensively, this is kind of what I thought it would be, to be honest with you. The stat line for Bridgewater at 328 is probably about 100 yards more than I figured he'd be at this point. So that's definitely going over my expectations. So I'm happy about that. That's fine. I don't know that continues. I think your run game is going to have to get to the point where they're getting you 120, 130 yards per game. You've got to rely on them. Right now, they're not. And these aren't great teams they're going up against. The Giants, I think, had a better defense than what we saw with Jacksonville. So a lot to get into. We got a lot more of Broncos, Jags recap and all that. We're going to take a break, though. Let's talk about the UNC Bears over the weekend, losing to Lamar. Dylan McCaffrey, we're going to catch up with him on the quarterback corner presented by First Advantage. Excited to catch up with him. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Prep sports and the UNC Bears are on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Coach McCaffrey, your UNC head football coach, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
That's a good one. That's pretty good. Bark at the Moon, yes. We got Dylan McCaffrey in here. It's time for the Quarterback's Corner with Dylan McCaffrey, presented by First Advantage. Dylan, my friend, how are you, dude? It's good to see you in studio.
I'm doing well. Yeah, it's good to be here, man. Again, I appreciate you having me on each week. This is a blast doing so.
Well, it's a fun opportunity, this whole name, image, and likeness stuff. You and I have talked about it a lot, but I think it gives listeners an opportunity every single week, a chance to listen to guys like yourself about what goes into the games, what goes into practice, what goes into everything, because, you know, as much as I like to pretend I know what I'm talking about, getting your insight and your, you know, that scoop is just, I think it's really important for listeners.
Definitely. I mean, I would agree. There's always a certain aspect of not getting the full picture when you don't hear everyone's words there. And now the players are able to, talk a lot more. I do think it's going to be a great thing for our program and a lot of others, too.
Yeah. Tough loss for the Bears over the weekend against Lamar, 17-10 in overtime. Crazy environment, though. The crowd, mm-hmm. I mean, they're believing in this program. Bummer, of course, didn't get to see you out there. How you feeling today, man?
I'm feeling a lot better. Recovery is going well, and we're on a good pace here. Just taking it day by day, but really looking forward to kind of getting a lot more involved this week and hopefully rolling. So
yeah, you just never know sometimes with those with those injuries, and I can't even pretend to really get into that side of it. But at the end of the day, it's you got to be filling up to snuff, or it could be borderline. It can be dangerous out there.
No doubt. Yeah, and then that's, you see that all the time. Guys get a little minor injury, and then that ends up leading to something huge.
Yeah,
and you can never play half speed, 75% speed, because that's when more stuff starts tackling on.
Yeah, no question about it. Well, we'll keep updated. We'll keep following you along, and we'll see what the status looks like for you this weekend. Northern Arizona, we're getting into conference play, and I mean, that's all these other games. Yes, they're great to get out there and see what you're made of. Great tests, like we talked about with the Buffs, of course, and then a nice W against Houston Baptist. But getting into the conference play, I mean, that's when things start to heat up a little bit. Northern Arizona, I believe, they were picked to kind of finish middle of the road. So, you know, there's some believers out there, this team, and they had a nice Pac-12 victory over the weekend.
Yeah, no, definitely. They had a great win this past weekend, and they're looking good. They're a team, too, that is kind of starting to get clicking. You watch their first two games and you think something, but then that last game, they really started to put some things together. You're like, okay, this is a good team. And like you mentioned, I mean, conference play is what matters now. And they're the first on the list of a team we want to compete against and take down. So,
Dylan, what's the week look like for you guys? When do you start getting into it and flipping the page, getting away from that game against Lamar and saying, all right, now we're getting into film, now we're getting into specifics? What does that look like for us?
Yeah, so that usually, it happens right away. It's a quick turnaround. It really is. Sundays are usually, thankfully, a recovery day. I know NCAA, kind of, you got to have one of those, which is nice. That's time to get the body right, recover from the game. Mondays, you usually watch the game,
Okay. Correct
the notes, maybe have a little correctional practice. You'll do that a lot there. But then right after that, it's, all right, game film, we're on to the next team.
Switching on to even that same day, you're kind of moving on
to that same day. It's whether a win or loss, you always just move on real quick. You kind of got that night of the game and the next day to either celebrate a good win or kind of mourn a loss, and then it's time to move on. So,
how difficult is that to go back and watch the film of a loss, go through? I mean, because you know you got to do it. That's how you get better. But is that tough, reliving that sometimes?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, it's really tough, but it's like you said, you got to. Mm. It's how you get better. You can learn a lot more from a loss than you can a win, because those mistakes mean a little more in those games.
So when you look at this film and you're looking, it's even doubles hard for you because, not being in that game and then just kind of watching, what do you take from it, even though you weren't in that game? Is it the same kind of film study for you? You're almost watching Connor Martin as if that were you out there?
Yeah, definitely. You have to. And I've had a lot of experience watching other quarterbacks play, in the situation there. And it's a universal kind of deal in that room specifically. You can learn things from everyone in that room, whether they played the whole game or a guy had three snaps in practice.
Yeah,
you can learn some from those. So,
I think it's got to be a tough deal. I always think about that. I'm like, oh, they always talk about the film study after a loss. It's always a difficult thing. You're just reliving, rough, because you guys hate losing. I mean, that's one thing I've learned about athletes, Division I athletes, coaches, is the idea of losing is just no fun.
It is, man. It's a fun sport, but when you're losing, it sucks all that fun out, and it just becomes kind of a grind sometimes. But it's about how quickly you can turn around and get back on the right trajectory.
It was a pretty evenly matched game throughout. I mean, Lamar, you know, you guys, I think it started out 7-0. Lamar, you guys go right back down, score, and it just kind of stayed that way. We go to overtime, and, of course, just didn't end the way you want. But what was Lamar doing, especially on that defensive side of the ball? I mean, they were getting some stops in there that really just seemed to kind of slow down the process.
Yeah, no doubt. They were definitely getting some stops. I have to give credit there. Their secondary, their safeties got really involved in the run game, and I think that helped them out a good bit.
Yeah.
Because those dudes were flying downhill. We knew they'd fly downhill, but they were good at it, man. And you got to give them some credit too. They made some key tackles, some key stops in there. Hit all our guys low, which brought them to the ground, and it was a good performance from them.
We're sitting in with Dylan McCaffrey as a part of the Quarterback's Corner presented by First Advantage. Also, Windsor Mill Tavern. That place is phenomenal. We'll get out there and something, man. We'll get something to eat sometime.
No doubt. We have to, man. With that menu, we have to.
And during this time, I mean, I'm always starving around this time.
Oh, yeah. So. No doubt. This is the time to go. I mean, you can go there all day, but this time to really hit it.
Yeah, no question about it, man. All right, so when you flip the script and you start looking at Northern Arizona, what stands out? Obviously, you got a full week ahead of you in preparation for this one. But what stands out from your perspective on the defensive side of the ball with what they're doing out there?
Yeah, I think that last game they really clicked. It seemed like they were in a new level then, and I think that just goes to show us that we can't be hurting ourselves this game at all because they're a very cohesive unit. That looked pretty solid. So as long as we don't eliminate kind of those penalties we had against ourselves pushing us back, I think we'll be in a good spot. But against a solid, well-formed team, you can't be doing those.
Well, and you look at the Arizona thing, and, you know, that's a rivalry game between those two. But that's a Pac-12 team that they beat. And I don't care what the struggles look like for Arizona. You say, okay, first off, it's a rivalry game, so you throw that out the window. Mm-hmm. Second, it's a Pac-12 team. And we've seen this all up and down the board. At the end of the day, these conferences, there is a bit of a difference. And who knows that more so than you? So that was a big win for Northern Arizona.
It definitely was. I mean, anytime FCS beats FBS, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
And that should be celebrated. And honestly, I'm happy for them. I like to see our conference do well against those FBS teams because, you know, that makes the all-around strength look better. And I think that's when we're competing out there, it's going to be the same deal, you know. And we give it to one of these teams. We're like, okay, we can hang with anyone because any of our teams in our conference can. You know, it's a strong conference.
It does seem like this conference, the Big Sky is always tough when you're looking at FCS teams, but it seems like this year we've seen a lot of teams knocking off FBS schools left and right. So this conference, I mean, they look strong. They look ready to rock and roll.
No doubt. They definitely are. We knew coming in the season that they would be. There's a lot of good teams in this one, and I mean, you wouldn't want it any other way, really. Because that'll be a great test. It'll be fun.
Yeah, can't wait for that one again. Another home opportunity. What was that like? The fan support out there Saturday for you?
Oh, that was awesome. Obviously, I mean, this was my first home game with the program, and I didn't know what to expect, but I was blown away. The fan support was awesome. The crowd was loud, man. I didn't know Nottingham could get loud like that. And I'm really hoping we carry that forward into this week because that'll start playing a real big factor in these conference games, and we're going to need it. We're going to need to pack the house again. We're going to need fans to stay, and just helps out a little bit. It makes a big difference on the field.
Yeah, it really does. And I think you and I chatted about it just, you know, last week. There is a huge difference from what this program has seen over the years as far as buy-in and fan support. It's definitely different this season. I don't know that there's necessarily this large amount of pressure, but there's just excitement. And people in the area are like, you know what, there's reasons to get pumped up. And there's an investment in the program. And, of course, that McCaffrey name, there's some big names on this football club, too. I mean, we're seeing on the defensive side, too, some nice names. So you can feel it in the air, and it's kind of cool that you guys could sense that. The players could sense that, too.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, we all sense it, and especially from the guys that have been here a while, they'll say, like, yeah, this is an exciting year. They've never seen Greeley like this, and they want it to keep rolling like that. So, I mean, I'm having a blast with it. I really hope we continue that kind of excitement throughout the year.
We're talking to Dylan McCaffrey as a part of our Quarterback's Corner presented by First Advantage. So what's the weekend look for you? You said you get some time. Do you watch a lot of football? Do you get away from football? You watch what you need to watch, but do you try to get away and watch something else or just get outside? Or is it like I'm watching other college football games, I'm watching NFL games on Sunday?
Yeah, I'm usually pretty locked in football 24/7. I went right from our game on Saturday to my little brother's game. Sunday, got to wake up, watch the other brother's game, and then one of my buddies will be playing in the afternoon that, you know, I'll tune in for. But every now and then, Sunday evenings, once kind of sun starts setting, that's when sometimes I'll shut it off, maybe not turn on that Sunday night game and watch a movie or a couple episodes of something, and that's kind of that'll kind of unwind me for the week.
Well, that's you have so many family members, so many friends and connections, mm-hmm. that you kind of got some not necessarily obligations, but you maybe feel like that where it's like, okay, I'm going to watch all these, and then maybe I'll take a little break.
Yeah, definitely. No, and I love watching them. It definitely adds a little bit more stress. I don't know. Playing stressful in itself, but watching someone you love play is that's a whole kind of another stressful. So
is this okay? So yeah. So now you're seeing what like your parents have gone through watching you guys play.
I don't know how they did it, man. Watching my little brother, he's been playing for Rice this year, and watching him, he does a great job. And I mean, I have full confidence in him. But it's still just, you know, watching. It's almost like it's out of your control, so it builds up a little bit more tension.
That's tough, man. Yeah, that's I never thought about that aspect of it for you, you know, because, again, you guys, such a huge football family. It's in your blood. There's no doubt about it, but you guys all still probably get pretty nervous watching each other out there.
I think so, yeah. And like I said, I mean, I trust them. I know he's one of the hardest working players I've ever seen, and so at the end of the day, that'll take over, and you got to just try to relax and trust them.
How often do you guys all talk throughout the season? Obviously, you know you talk to Max quite a bit. That makes sense.
Yeah,
do you guys chat quite a bit, or is it like, all right, once we all get into season, you know, a nice text once in a while and that kind of thing?
Yeah, we usually talk still a good bit. We got like a group chat with all of us. It's usually always texting back and forth, and you know, a good text a week, text before the game, text after the game, kind of unwind a little sometimes. So it, yeah, we still end up talking a good bit.
I was, I had to do it, man. I had your dad on last week talking a little football back and forth, and I did bring up the wolf thing. I just wanted to, I had to bring it up, and he said, no, I don't do the wolf thing. But he said he might be responsible for that because when you were like 7 or 8 years old, he was you wanted to watch, what was it, American, was it Werewolf in Paris?
Oh, yeah.
He brought it up, and you wanted to watch it, and he's like, oh, you know what? It's just me and the kids today, so we're going to watch it. And he said you hung in there for a while, but maybe it like really messed you up, and now that's in your brain, and wolves are there forever, and it's his fault.
You know, I don't think it messed me up, but there was definitely one scene in that movie where I was probably a little too young to be watching that. It was a pop-up scene. Someone jumped out of a shower curtain, and I lost it. Yeah, no, that was still remember the exact scene, but
that's great. I was hoping you were going to be like, I never watch scary movies. Yeah. I don't know what he's talking about.
No,
but he thought maybe he contributed that just a little bit.
I don't know. Maybe. I'm not sure. It's kind of like a Batman deal where you got to become your biggest fear, maybe. But
maybe it is.
No, I don't know. I watched that movie a couple years later, and I mean, it's a good movie, but it's was not that scary second time around.
So what are you watching now outside of football? Do you like watching scary movies, or is it like, you know, a lot of TV?
Do. Yeah, no, I'm definitely more of a movie person than TV show, and then I felt the weather change this morning a little bit, you know, and that kind of got me in a scary movie mindset. I watched Jeepers Creepers last night,
That's a creep. I suck at scary. I mean, do you go by yourself, or do you date or friends? Like, what is that? Because I by myself is just terrifying.
Either one, man. It's nice to have a crew there with you, but sometimes you just need to get one in and watch that one alone last night. Makes it sound a little weird, but
I watched the newer version of It.
Oh, yeah?
I watched that one. That was pretty freaky until, like, then he came out and started dancing or whatever at the end of the movie when he was dancing. Then it took me out of it. I was like, okay, this isn't that scary anymore.
Yeah, it kind of, I agree. I actually 100% agree with that one. Same with the old one. It was a little bit like that, too. It was great for a while, and then kind of got a little out there.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes you got to do it. It takes your mind away. I get it, man. Well, we'll be keeping out for you. We're going to be paying attention to see what your status looks like for Saturday. You just never know, right? I mean, these injuries can hang on for a bit. You can feel a little bit better one day, and then you never know what's going to happen next.
Yeah, no doubt. And, I mean, there's a couple more tests to do, and hopefully we're rolling.
Well, we hope you have a good week of practice, my friend. And, you know, just looking at this Northern Arizona team and you know, the Big Sky. Like we said, the Big Sky is tough. It's a tough conference, and we're looking forward to seeing you guys start this thing off.
You know, thank you. I appreciate that. We are, too.
All right, man. Dylan McCaffrey. That's the Quarterback Corner with Dylan McCaffrey, presented by First Advantage and Windsor Mill Tavern. We'll take a short break. We'll wrap up the first hour. We'll get to the game of the week coming up. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Yeah. Catch the Ellis and Hubbard Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. Mondays at 1 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Everything you need to know about Northern Colorado is on NOCO Now. Weekdays at 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Kevin Lytle, your Colorado State Athletics beat reporter for the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
7 minutes until the top of the hour. Welcome back to the show. That was awesome. Let's hear it for Dylan McCaffrey. That was fantastic doing this each and every week. And hopefully as he gets healthier and ready to go, you know, we're going to get even more of that insight coming up from him. But a big one coming up against Northern Arizona. Colfax, that just so happens to be my game of the week. So epic. So epic. UNC Bears going up against Northern Arizona. Northern Arizona's also 1-2. They beat their rival, Arizona. Arizona's 0-3. I get it. They're a Pac-12 team. They're not a great Pac-12 team. But like Dylan said, anytime you get an FCS school beat an FBS school, just ask CSU if it means anything. I mean, fans were absolutely losing it. Arizona went up against BYU at the beginning of the season and lost 24-16. So close game there. They played San Diego State, lost 38-14. So, all right. And so, I mean, Arizona is, they're not great, but they did duke it out with a BYU team and what I think is going to be a decent San Diego State team. So, Northern Arizona, this is going to be a good matchup coming in for the Bears. Defensively, they're playing really well against Lamar. So, you got to like what you're seeing there for this team. But overall, yeah, you know, got to be able to move the ball, get down the field. Connor Martin started off on a great foot. You know, he got that touchdown. Well, touchdown in the second quarter. And then it just kind of, you know, it was a slow game. Third quarter, no scores. 3-3 in the fourth. It was a defensive battle. And at the end of the day, one that just came out with Lamar on top. Connor ended the day 19 of 31, 152 yards, one touchdown, an interception. Meanwhile, on their side of the ball, they ran the ball. I mean, that's what Lamar did, was just try to put the ball, you know, on the ground as much as they can. They had 242 yards rushing. The Bears had 126. It was nice to see Gene Sledge Jr. out there. He had 100 yards, so that was good. But it was offense was hard to come by. Cassidy Woods had 5 receptions, but 44 yards. That was the max for the day as far as receptions go. So, you know, you got the defensive side of the ball. You got to be feeling really good about that if you're a UNC fan. But on the other side, offensively, this is where you're really hopeful. You know, that you brought Dylan in. He obviously won that competition. So you're really hopeful that you can get Dylan back into the mix coming up this weekend. And like we said, conference, this is where it's at, man. This is what matters the most. Once you get into your conference play, Ellison Hubbard and I talked about it. You're gonna hear him discuss this as well. That, hey, once it's a bummer we lost those first two games. It's great we beat Toledo. We'll see what happens against Iowa. But it's going against the conference that matters the most. It's the whole point of the conference. You know, if it didn't mean anything, we wouldn't have it set up like that. So this is going to be a big test for the Bears. A lot of teams are starting to get into that conference mode. Here's our Power to Play Sports poll question. With all three area college football teams sitting at 1-2 to start the season, who has a better chance of turning their season around? The CSU Rams, the Buffs, the UNC Bears, and 61% of the hooligans are saying the CSU Rams. Looking at that, my, what a difference a week makes, Colfax. I mean, I think Rams fans just go like, whoa, back and forth. I get it. You know, you're looking for some excitement. You got it. You just went down into Toledo and you won that game, a team that almost beat Notre Dame. So you're feeling really good, and you should. 61% of the hooligans are saying that, yeah, we think the Rams are going to bounce back. All right, in the second hour, we're switching things over to Rams Talk with the Ellison Hubbard Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. It's going to do it for the first hour. We'll be right back.